Good. We're holding today on Daf Ayin. And we're right in the middle of the Sugya about what the implications are regarding our Mishnah when we have a case where a Kohen raped a woman, leaving her pregnant, and she ends up having a son from the Kohen, who according to the Mishnah is Machil, the mother, Betruma. So the question that we had is, how in the world do we know that if there was no, but normally we assume that a child is a child of a particular father. We have no way of knowing. But we assume because Rov Bilot Achar Habal, so normally in the case, even if she's having an affair with somebody, I mean, but basically she's involved with her husband, so it's just statistically it's more reasonable that a child is the supposed husband's father. The supposed father. The Shaila, however, is in this case, why we would assume that the child is the Kohen's. So because of this, we brought in a sugya, which on the surface wasn't related. It turned out it's very fundamentally related, which is a case of someone who sleeps with his kala or his arusa while she's still living at home. She gets pregnant, and the shaila is, what is the din of the child? Is the child considered to be his? In which case, perfectly kosher child. I mean, he's even married there, really. And the only shaila would be whether if there were rumors going around that she was having affairs with others, or even if not, maybe we should be chayshish when she's mafkir herself. She would be mafkir herself afilu b'isser. Those were the shailas that we were referring to. Now we found over there, and again we very, very much oversimplified this sugya here because we didn't want to get into the three possible ways of understanding the machlokas that the Gemara in Kiddushin has between Rav, who says the Vlad is a mamzer, and Shmuel says the Vlad is a shtuki, and we just took a kipshuta that according to Vlad, according to Rav, is a mamzer, is even able to be married to a mamzer, but it's a bada. According to Shmuel, it's a shtuki, and therefore it's also because it's a suffix. Lamaisa Gemara ends up having very different approaches to Rav and Shmuel, but as far as the question of here is concerned, it doesn't make any difference. We can keep it simple, and we're still going to be able to read the Gemara in exactly the same way, so we might as well. So we said yesterday that Rav brought a raya, that the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel would only be where there were rumors that she was having an affair with somebody else. It's over there. Rav says, if that's the case, then why not assume that it comes from anybody? There's more people than the one we know about. So there's more people in the world than the one we know about. So then we should assume, indeed, that the Vlad is a mamzer. There's only one Horus. Everybody else is us. But if, Lamaisa, there were no such rumors, so then even Rav would agree that it's okay. My Raya is exactly from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says over here, we know that she slept with a Kohen. We don't know she didn't sleep with anybody else. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says before Rash, the child's allowed to dismantle her betruma. No. So how about Rav's going to argue on the Mishnah? Says Abaye to Rav, yesterday, the Mishnah, look, the Mishnah could be talking, as the Mishnahs often do, about laboratory situations, not practical cases. It could be they're both isolated in a jail, you know? And we want to find out whether she's pregnant from him. Well, I mean, but the idea is what's important. The idea is that a child of a Kohen, despite the fact that they're not married, the husband isn't machil, the child is machil. Maybe that's the pshat. That's what we were up to yesterday. Now today, the Gemara offers an alternative version of that entire discussion. And this is on the bottom now of Samach Tet Amud Beit. And this version goes like this. Ikari Amri, it's the last word of four lines up. Ikari Amri. Others read the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel as they did before. Rav says the Vlad Mamzer, Shmuel Amri Vlad Shtuki. To which now Rav comes along and says, well, I think that it's only reasonable to say that Beva Lea Kule Alma Lop Ligida Basre Didesha. First of all, this we're all agreed on, right? That if both Rav and Abaya, this is nothing to discuss, if we know for a fact that he was Baalea, so then for sure there's nothing to discuss that. Of course we know, here it's a given, that he could have made her pregnant. We have no reason to assume anyone else had slept with her, so fine. We know this, we don't know anything else, so then it goes according to him, he's the father. What it's talking about over there is Achi Yitmar. Not that the Arusa over there, it just says Arusa she Ibra. Okay, so an Arusa gets pregnant. Rav says the Vlad is mom. So Shmuel says the Vlad is a Shtuki. Not that, given that he had slept with her. To which Rava says, Mistavra, Milsa de Rav, it's reasonable for Rav to say that the Vlad is a mamzer, the lo daimemine. We had no reason to think that he had slept with her. There were no rumors, but there were rumors that she was sleeping around with others. The daimemi alma, so over there we understand that he says, look, why should I assume it's from the Oros? The child could be from anybody. Aval daimemine, however, if we understand that she was in fact, now here the word daimamine, Tosfos says, cannot just mean there's rumors. Over here, daimamine means we know that she had slept with him. Because otherwise there's no connection to the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah, we know that the Kohen had slept with this woman. He was Mahanis, he was Mufat, whatever the situation is. There's no question about whether. There's only a question about from whom the child is. If the Gemara meant to say, Daimi, we only have rumors that they had slept together, this is for sure, you can't bring a right from the Mishnah. Therefore, it says, in this particular case, the word daim amine doesn't mean just daim amine. Daim amine means that he was bought out. Vada daim amine. And Alpha got the daim amine, I'm going back to the normal meaning, even though there are rumors that say that she was carrying on with others, but basrei didei shadinan le, we will go according to him, from which Rava brings a right from the Mishnah. Rava, mina amina la. I'll tell you how I know this. Iktani yolda. If she has a son, then tochal. How do you explain the Mishnah? What is the case where we know that they slept together and there were no reason to believe she slept with anybody else? So, of course she's going to be eating. Why not? Must be that there were rumors that she not only was seduced by this Kohen that we know about, but maybe she was seduced by others. So bring a kavachomer. If in a case where she's asura to both, and so that means that we know that she's had relationships that were illicit. Nonetheless, we say, look, we know, what we don't know. So, Basar Didei Shadina, we go according to the relationship that we know about. So, they're in a case where a woman is now having a relationship with her chosin, with her husband, she accepted kedusha. So, we're going to suspect her of having now relations with other people. Why in the world would we do such a thing? But to everybody else, she's usher. To this man, she's mutter. So, Lokoshken, that we're not going to suspect her of getting pregnant from somebody else. Amalei Abaye, and in this version, Abaye says, not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about that a low daime klal. Maybe the idea over here was there was nothing. There was no indication that this woman is anything but a very simple, religious, and careful virgin. And then all of a sudden she gets pregnant. I mean, all of a sudden she gets raped and she gets seduced. We know this story. And therefore, initially we would say, there's no reason to think she's pregnant at all. Over here we know that she was nivela. So we're going to assume that she was nitabra. But over here where there are in fact indications that she's not as old-fashioned and virginous as she appears, so maybe I can have unraveled. We'd be chashish under any and all circumstances. So we said, an Eved is considered to be an act of being apostles, and however, if he leaves her with a child, the child is irrelevant, whether it's apostle or if she's about going or to feed her, since it says over here that the Shifcha's child is basically the owner's, obviously it's not his, it doesn't have any yields. Mamzer, we said on the other hand that if she's got a grandson, a mamzer, that's wonderful. Tire kinderlach. At least I get food. But if she's got a grandson, a Kohen Gadol, shouldn't have children like that. Don't give me any deeds. And not only that, they also me from eating truma. Don Rabban, how do we know this mamzer? How do we know that it's a grandchild? Well, the Zera Einla, you might think means Einla, Ella Zara. How do we know? What about grandchildren? Maybe if she has grandchildren, that's not important. Talmud Lomar, the Zera Einla Michomakom, the Zekera Vayenla, make sure. If there's any zera at all, then there's no shavel beit avia, and or there is continued to be fed by her husband as a kohen. In the ella zera kasher zera pasuminai, maybe that's only children that are not mamzerim. How do we know even children that are mamzerim are considered to be children or grandchildren, and they will have whatever impact they have if was married to a yisrael, the apostle, or for meaning truma, if she's married to a kohen, no giver truma. Talmud lomar zera ima ayena la. Look into it. What's the difference? What their yichus is? Is it her child or grandchild? But wait a minute. I'll feed to the Zarazara. But didn't you use that to say basically the same drasha? Let's see whether there's anything at all that comes from her. That's what you're saying. So you're repeating it. I mean, maybe it only means grandchildren or great grandchildren. How do you know that it means even a mamzer? I do not need a pasuk to tell me that a grandchild is considered to be Zerah. That I know from B'nai Banim, Arenke Banim, that we talked about a lot earlier in the Masechta. We needed a Pusik, and Rashi only needed a Pusik for B'nai Banot, even. B'nai Banim we didn't even need, because of all of the places in the Torah. Remember, we mentioned a lot of different Achronim and different Tratim, but we don't need a Pusik from B'nai Banim. Therefore, the only meaning to the Pusik is Mamzerut. Seki Yitzich Kor L'Zerah Pasu. I'll never shlok Shrav Yochanan. This whole Mishnah here, it is weird, because the case that it gave was a case of an Eved, or an Eved Kechovim, that had been Baalea, and it said the Vlad of the Mamzer. Why is the Vlad of Mamzer? You mean like Rabbi Akiva? Who holds that the Yesh Mamzer Bechayve Lav? He says, no, he's of course involved in sleeping with a Goy or sleeping with an Eved. No. Afil Tim Rabbonim. The din is, remember, as Mad Yomer holds, that Beovit Kochavim and Eved, that everybody is motivated that the child is a Mamzer because of the Chisor Nechias. The Chiyatar of Dimi Yomer Yitzabar of Dimi Bishum Rabbeinu. Rebbe held that Ovid Kochavim Eved Abba Bat Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. So therefore, it takes the Mishnah, wants to take a case of the Bat, was a Bat Yisrael who slept with the Eved, versus the case of the Ben, was Nichba Shalash Shifcha. And the Vlad is a Mamzer, versus the Vlad of a Shifcha, which is not his child at all. So we contrast the two cases, but that's not because of Rabbi Akiva. It's because of Rabbi himself. Rabbi holds that it's a Mamzer, who generally does not hold Rabbi Akiva. He holds that Alnitas, of course, produces a Mamzer, but this is a unique case, Eved and Akum, without Chiyas. Turn around, man. The way the Mishnah puts it, Oy, Kindelachzels, Nizayn Avir Gizor. No, you shouldn't have children like my grandson. Some Kohen Gadol he is. So the way the Brisa puts it is that there's two women over here. So one of them has got this mamzer who's giving her treatment. So she's saying, "Oy, Areni Kapora has been beating my tire mamzerish inigul." Who at least he may be a kuza, he may just be a little shot glass, but he's doing good for me. Machileni betruma. And the other one says, "Any kaparat ben biti, well, I ain't no kapara for my grandson. Let me tell you, he may be a big shot, a kava. He thinks he's as big as a kav. He's a bushel. But all he did was put slanim in our truma. So here, depending on who your grandson is, it all boils down to what's the bank account. Who feeds me? Hadron alach almanam. Ha'arel. V'chol ha'temeim. Now that we've had a whole parak discussing the relationship of Zerah, Zerah in-lo, Yibum and the children relationships by the Kohen, we want to go on to discuss the dinim of Achilas Truma already, and where they're affected by other issues that are not genetic issues. So let's say someone is an oral. Kohen is an oral. There's a big machlokas here what this means. Rashi learns all over that what we're talking, there's two alternatives. Either this guy's an oral, because he doesn't believe in Mila. In which case, there's a whole different psul. That's Ben Nechar. Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochabad. We learn that by Korban Pesach. That passes somebody who is a mumer. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about over here in Oral, where his brother has died, and therefore he's assumed to be hemophiliac, and there was nothing he could do about it, but he can't have a brit mila. The very fact of Arelut passes him from eating truma. There's a fascinating sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam who disagrees with this. It's brought here by the Tosef Yeshanim, brings it here, but Lamaisa in another place Rabbeinu Tam mentions it. And that is, and a very interesting idea, the state of Arelut is defined by the Chiyuv of Mila. In other words, the Rabbeinu Tam holds the fact that a person may have a foreskin doesn't mean he's an oral. He's only an oral if he was supposed to remove the foreskin. The foreskin doesn't need removal, it has no significance. Just a piece of skin, right?
We call goyim arelim all the time.
Yeah, that's true, but that's because they could be in a matzav in which they could. Here, this person, because of his onus, that's a sheet. Because he's an onus, so his foreskin is viewed as being incidental, unimportant. Someone who was shyach to becoming a ger and could have made himself tar, but if he's a hemophiliac, that's the question, what if the guy's hemophiliac? Fine. But therefore, he's not called an arel. The case is, but then what would be the finish of arel over here if he's a mummer? In the sense of not believing in the U.S. Tosfos says there's a third category. The third category is he's scared. So he would like to get himself a bris mila. He doesn't have the guts. So he's a mummer in the sense that, like a mummer l'teyavon, a guy, I mean, he'd like not to eat McDonald's. Kenish. What's he supposed to do? I mean, also, he'd like not to be an oral. Kenish. Fine. So that is not considered to be nitznacher libay lobev shiva shamayim. You know, it's a different issue. He's a mummer l'dabar ha'chod here. And that's what it's referring to. Nonetheless, all of the limudim in the Gemara are referring to that person. Immense chiddush. Someone who is physically an oral, if it's made to echad makrat mila, is allowed to eat from him. V'chol atmeim, and anybody would be tamei lo yochlu b'truma. But even though up until this point, all of the discussions that had to do with the schus of eating of the Kohen, the schus of eating because you're the Kenyan of the Kenyan of the Kohen, was dependent on the Kohen or the Kinyan of the Kohen themselves being able to eat. Here, that's not true. Here, let's say there's something wrong with the Kohen's mouth, and he can only drink liquids, so he can't eat the truma grain. You're going to say, therefore, he can't feed grain? He's a dry. He's got a problem. The arelut and the tumah is a problem. It's not that there's something that is missing in the state of his kahuna that prevents him from giving to others. So this is an unusual case where he himself cannot be ochel, but he can be machil. Therefore, nishehem and avdehem yochlu b'truma. The kinyonim that he has can eat truma. Now there's another case where we've got a problem of the kohen. So let's say he's a petzua daka or a chrushavcha. So there, indeed, there's no problem of his being able to eat. However, there's a problem of his being married to his wife, because once he becomes a psuadaka, he's not allowed to be bala kahal. So now any time he sleeps with his wife with damaged genitals, he's going to passel her. In which case, the fact that he eats and his avodim eat, that's not a problem, but his wife can't eat. So that's a unique situation. He and the eved eat, the wife doesn't eat, because she's not eating. But, im lo yada'a, if he never slept with her, Mishasha Nasa, Betsua Dakav Hoshavcha, so then under those circumstances, Arayelu Yochlu, they would be able to eat. It does point out this is not necessarily Nagaya the Shaila of the Mishumerit for Biopsula either, because that has to do with the original Kiddush. A zero Betsua Daka, what defines a Betsua Daka? Koshinib Tsu'a Beitim Shlo, where there's damage to the testicles, even Afila Achat Mehem, even though one testicle is fine, but the other one isn't. A chrushavcha is koshen ichrat hagid. Chrushavcha means literally karut, cut, so that the penis was actually cut, and that's dafka, where is it cut? Dafka on the body of the penis itself, in the shtayer miatara, as long as there's some little bit left from the atara downwards meaning towards the ground, not towards the body, which is what upwards. See, in the shtayer miatara, feel like a chuta sa'ara, because the atara is not considered to be penis, it's considered to be just a coating, a flesh. Therefore, as long as there's a little bit left of the atara, that means that he's not a kushavcha. There's no damage, halachically speaking, there's no damage to the actual penis. So I feel like a chuta sa'ara could be the tiniest amount that still now remains from that point down, kosher. There's no problem. Tanya Omer Rabbi Elazar. Minayim arel she'en orecha b'truma. How do we know that an orel does not eat truma? Well, this doesn't say anything about it openly, but it does say toshav v'sachir in two places. It says toshav v'sachir when it comes to a korban pesach. So there it says toshav v'sachir lo yochalba. When it comes to truma, it says toshav v'sachir lo yochal kodesh. So now we therefore have a gzereshav, just like a toshav v'sachir amur b'pesach. Pesach includes dinim of arelud b'feirish. Cholorel lo yochal. Says Beferish. So too, when it says Toshav v'sachir, it's a gzereshav. It says a betruma, the arel indeed is a surba. We learn from the din of Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says, what do you need a gzereshav for? You know, it's sorry. Areyu Omer, doesn't it say Beferush ish mizera aron? Here it's talking about tuma. So tsarua zav zubekotshe no yochal. That extra ish comes to be marva the psul of arelut. That's marva arelut. He too betrumas hakodesh bekodeshim lo yochal, and therefore he can't eat truma. So this is the makor of where we say all over Shas that according to Rabbi Akiva, he's marva arel kitame. So wherever a tame has problems, an arel has problems. A tame can't eat truma, an arel can't eat truma. I suppose it's asking, what do we need? What do we need the if that's the case? What do we need the din according to him of arel bepesach arel kitame yochal? So Tosfos says, of course, the din of ish, I would never have said if I wouldn't have found one place where the Torah does say the Feirish, that an Arul has the same din as a Tamei. Practically speaking, now I could say, well, once I saw that by Pesach, then the ish is Marv and Arul. But if I guess, just because it says ish means an Arul, it mean anything. So the fact that it writes it by Pesach now is the basis of allowing me to be Marv and Arul Katamei. That I know from the word ish that it's an Arul. He may not be Makamba the Gezer Shabbat. We'll see more about this. It's dependent on whether it's mufna, which is now a whole different question we're going to get to. Getting back to this, you say that according to Rebbe Lazar, it's very important that it was specifically Rebbe Lazar himself who said this Gezer Shabbat. So he said, Nemar Toshu Besachar BePesach, Nemar Toshu Besachar BeTruma, Ma Toshu Besachar BePesach, Orel Aserbo, Av Toshu Besachar Omer BeTruma, Orel Aserbo. Now I sure hope that this is a case where it's mufneh. You better have some extra words over here, not just the use of the same word. The lav mufneh. If you don't have extra words here, then I could tell you, well, it's a nice comparison, but it can't be true la'alacha, because I can easily show you why it's different. You kill him, Yifra. Ma'ala Pesach. Pesach is very different. Maybe the Torah is makbid on Reilut when it comes to Pesach, because Pesach has a lot of other special issurim. You would be chayev for pigol, you'd be chayev for nicer, you'd be chayev kores for achila betuma, and exactly what the tamei means over here is not clear. Some tzistosis don't have the word tamei because of truma. You also have an issur tuma. So therefore you can't say Pesach is better because of an issur tuma. But as tzistosis points out, that it still could be dorishit, because as Rashi says, the tuma when it comes to carbon Pesach is a chiyuv kores, therefore it's a chiyuv yochatas. The tuma betruma is not a chiyuv yochatas, even though it's a tuma sagun. So mamela, you could still say that it's more chomer by Pesach. So I'd be able to ask you, don't tell me the oral. Of course, by Pesach and oral is aser. That doesn't mean that by truma it will be aser. Says the Gemara, indeed, life, nuyi mufne, it is certainly extra. Is it? Which one? The one by truma or the one by Pesach is mufne? High mufne. Let's say truma. You want to say tosha v'sachir lo yochabo. There's an extra word there. What exactly is the extra word? I mean, mitzvah tzrichah. We do know that the Braisa says neither of those words, toshav v'sachar, neither of them are extra. The Tanya, the Braisa says like this. Toshav refers to a kanui kinyan olam. A sachir refers to a kanui kinyan shanim. So over here we have an eved ivri who is working for a kohen. So the question is, can he eat truma? Now, the kinyan kaspo, which is the kinyan aguv, which is the eved, it says beferish kinyan kaspo yochalbo. However, an eved ivri, do we view an Eved Ivri as being Kinyan Kaspo, or do we view an Eved Ivri as a glorified long-term worker? That's the Shaila. So I say that there's two states, says the Gemara. You have a Konui Kinyan Olam, and that's where indeed something was done to the very body of the Eved Ivri, which is Ritzia. We put an awl through his ear. What a primitive thing to do. They do it to little children nowadays. It's just awful. These little golden things. Anyway, so we actually make a change in his body, and that creates a tilyovos. So it's called Kone Kinyan Olam. So maybe over there, the Kone Kinyan Olam, I mean, I would have thought that. That's already like an Eved Kanan. You know, he belongs, mamish. I mean, it's going to work for him forever.
It's
only tilyovos. Tilyovos. That's Olam. Olamosho Yovel. We spoke about that. A Yovel is a different world.
It's not the kind of the Olam we're usually referring to here, forever.
No, that's what it means.
Here,
that's what we're referring to. Kone Kinyan Olam is someone who was near Tzah. Olam means Ad Olam HaShol Yodah.
I thought for Truma, we need more than that. For Truma, we need something.
We do. Which Kone Kinyan Olam cannot eat. Cannot eat Truma. Toshav HaSachar Lo Yochal. So let's say, if we would have said now, so you're telling me, okay, so in other words, even a Kone Kinyan Olam cannot eat Truma. It's obviously a Kone Kinyan Shonim, the guy's only going to be working for 6 years. It's obviously. Obviously he cannot eat Truma, right? So then if that's the case, then just say Toshav. Don't bother saying Sechir. And that must be our extra word, right? No, not right. The Yomer Toshav, you're going to say, okay, so wouldn't it be enough to say Toshav, which is a Kone Kinyan Olam, and even he can't eat, so then don't bother telling me that a Sechir who's only working for a number of years can't eat. I can figure that out myself. Vani Omer, I mean, then obviously I will say, if I have any brains, Kone Kinyan Olam I know, because obviously Kone Kinyan Shanim Lakoshi. How would I think that he would be able to eat? The problem is, that if you said Toshav and you didn't say Sachir, I would have said that a Toshav is a Kone Kinyan Shanim. It's only in contrasting a Toshav to a Sachir that I know what each one means. If you're just going to tell me the word Toshav, so I would say, okay, somebody who's temporarily living with the Kohen because he's working for him for the number of years that an Eved Ivri works. But maybe if he was a Nirtzim, we'd call him a Toshav. There he would be, true Kinyan, and that's included in Kyan Kaspo, Yochalbo. Therefore, I have to write both of them. Because if I only wrote one, so I would have said that, okay, so probably a Toshav is a Kone Kinyan Shanim. But Eino Kinani, a Kone Kinyan Olam, would be allowed to eat, because he would have the din of an Eved Kinani. Bosa, Hirvili, made out Toshav. So now that I have both of them, now I say, wait. So what's the difference between a Toshav and a Sachir? Sachir means basically rented, that he's for hire. I understand that that's just the number of years. Toshav is going to be here a long time. Now I understand that it means to tell me that both of them are not included in the din of kinyan kasvo. So baza chivali meira toshav shav apishik anu kinyan olam in ochem. Good. Now I understand. But can't be truma. Okay, it's not truma. I didn't tell you which one was mufta. Pesach is mufta. Why don't you say toshav is a chivah pesach? Because, look, when it says Toshav Esachir B'Pesach, explain to me who it's referring to. Inema Toshav Esachir Mamash. What do you think it means? You think that it means an Eved Ivri who's a Konon Kinyan Shanim or a Konon Kinyan Eilam? That what? Lo Yochavob Meshugim? But it's Olev Adcha, that somebody who is an Eved Ivri has all the Chayuvim of a Jew, one mitzvah he doesn't have. He can't eat from a Korban Pesach. That's ridiculous. Why would he be part of from a Korban Pesach? So it can't mean that. So we're certainly not going to say that he's... Because what would you say? You'd say, well, Pshat is, he's not really a free man, only a free man, he belongs to somebody else. Don't tell me that. Because he is completely a free man. Because if he weren't, then by Truma we should say that he is also, he's going to kill you. You can't have it both ways. So therefore, by the way, as Tosis points out, the whole thing sounds a little bit crazy. Because if Lamaisa... He is the Eved Kanani. No, so therefore, why can't he come to Pesach? But what's going on? He has the Chiyuvim of Anisha. Anisha, maybe Shachayevah. Even if you say Shachayevah to bring on her own, she's certainly Kanani. So, I mean, the only point over here that we were thinking, says Tesis, there's other approaches to this too. But the only thing that we were thinking is that he wouldn't be able to bring his own. He would have to be able to be Nimna on the Odains. That's the most that we were thinking. We weren't thinking literally Usher, Loyo Chalba. Okay, so Kaimel Gabi Truma de Lo Achas Amalo Konikilei Rabbi. His Odin doesn't have a real Kinyan in his goof to say that therefore he would be potter from the Korban Pesach, that he couldn't bring his own Korban Pesach. So if that's the case of an army by Korban Pesach, Konikilei Rabbi. So therefore the only meaning of Tosha Vesachar Lo Yochaldo is to talk about a Pesach that's Mufna. Says Tosis, what are you telling me? We're telling you a lie? Yeah, there's a lie. Tosha Vesachar Lo Yochaldo. Not true. But you need to have an extra pasuk for these things. It's absolutely crazy. The Torah is not going to tell you a lie that Tosha Vesachar Lo Yochaldo. If obviously Tosha Vesachar is Yochaldo, how could that be? So Tosha suggests, the Re suggests that what we're going to do now is we're going to say Tosha Vesachar in terms of an akh. But that nonetheless, I don't really, in other words, the partial meaning of the pasuk is that it's in terms of Akl. Lamaisa, I don't need the Pusik to tell it to me. But it's not a lie. Why don't I need the Pusik to tell it to me? Because it's not going to be better than an Oro. It's not going to be better than a Ben Nechar. It's certainly a Ben Nechar. You're telling me Toshav Esachar Lo Yochavo, which technically, if I look into it, would mean a Ben Yisrael, but that's not true. So, okay, so it must mean a Goy, but that's not necessary. So then ultimately it's Mufna. That's the point. It's not that we're keeping it Kipshutai Toshav Esachar Lo Yochavo, but we're saying, but of course it doesn't mean what it says. That would be ridiculous. We find a meaning that is true, it's dual level meaning, and it's mufna. Fine. Oh, that's what we're getting to. So now, Bepashas, they're both mufna. We don't need either of them. So must be lafnuye. Aha! But you're still not out of the woods. Because who was the man di Omar who said over this entire thing, remember Rabbi Elazar? The problem is that according to him, mufna mitzad echad is insufficient. Ve'akati mufna mitzad echadu. All you've got is a single-ended extra on the side of the Pesach. It's extra on the side of the Truma Yekomi. I need it. But the problem is that Shamina Leila Rebbe Lazar, it's Bedavka. Rebbe Lazar is the Mandi Omar who says, it's actually Rebbe Eliezer, but a little good here and there. We won't allow it to bother us. In both cases, it should say Rebbe Eliezer. The Omar Mufim, it's Sadachad, Lemedim, Meshivim. Even though we're going to see a lot of this later on in the Besefta, that he holds that we are Lemed, it's true that it's Gzera Shava. But not if you have a way of saying that it doesn't make sense. And over here we say it doesn't make sense. True, but here we're going to play a little magic trick. Now watch this. We've got two words that are mufna, right? Toshav and Sachir. Okay, we don't need two words that are mufna. Let's take one out, throw it into the Truma side. Now we've got Toshav on one side, Sachir on the other side. You'll say, well, what kind of Zereshav is that? Toshav to Sachir? Well, it's all the same thing as Toshav to Sachir. So that's Rabbi Shmuel's general then. V'shav HaKohen, Ubo HaKohen, Zu Yeshiva, Zu Yibia. So put that all together, and we've got ourselves a mufta mishnah study by taking the two words that were mufta on one side and splitting them up. Amazing what we can do with a little surgery. So therefore, what we do over here is, look, over here. Kiman de la gufel etzark, we don't need the pasuk at all to tell me the din. Shdi chad alamad, shdi chad alamad. Throw one of these onto the side of the din that you're trying to derive, the derivative, and throw the other one on the side of the source that's teaching you the derivative, namely the case of the Korban Pesach. And therefore, it would be a gzera shava muftah, mishneit tzadim. Now it would be open on both ends, and even Rabbi Eliezer can happily drink to this gzera shava and teach us that the din is that an oral is now usur in achilas truma. Now you'll ask, but wait, once you're accepting this gzera shava, we ought to go the whole way. And the din is a Korban Pesach is usur and onin to eat from the Korban Pesach. Why don't we say that Truma an Onin is Aser? Remember, we specifically know that an Onin is not Aser in Truma. Surprisingly, even though an Onin is Aser from Ma'is Sheni, you think Truma is more Chasher. Omer, yes, Rebbe Chanina, this indeed was the pasuk we referred to earlier, the previous parak. The Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Chanina points out that the pasuk in saying V'chol Zar, as opposed to Zar, teaches us that I'm stressing Zarut as opposed to other psulim. Zarut amarti lecha. I am telling you a psul of zarut when it comes to truva velo aninut. Now wait a minute. Once we're doing that, how do we know it means velo aninut? Maybe it means velo arilut. Let's use, it doesn't say. We have a zera shava on the one hand, we have a riboy on the other hand, or a miut, which acts as a riboy on the other hand. So, you can't possibly say it means not arilut, it says toshav v'sachir. Now wait a minute. You made up your mind in advance that toshav v'sachir tells me arilut. And therefore you're saying, this can't mean Arelut, it's already not Arelut, it's going to mean Aninut. I'm asking you to reconsider your whole approach. What makes you so sure that the part that tells me that they're similar and I should learn out the Yisurim of Pesach to Truma, that applies to Oral. But the stress on only Zarut pasul, so that applies to Onin. That an Onin doesn't pass. Maybe say it the other way around. That applies to Onin, the Yisur. So we have Xerah Shava for Pesach is Aser, for Aninut, which I learn out of my Yisur. So too is Truma Aser v'Aninut. And if I look to, what about Arelut? Arelut, it says, Kol Zar, Zarut amarti lecha, lo Arelut. It makes just much sense to me. So Umar Ahita, Mistar, you see. It makes much more sense to be Marba the Arelut as a psul from Pesach to Truma. Shekain, the way to remember that is, Ma'asim krutim bidvar ha'eved. Whoa, all kinds of things get cut off when the Eved speaks. Now that's, of course, a sin in the Alma. To Masim refers to two of the following five elements which make it more reasonable that we would aser an Orel. First of all, an Orel is a Mechusar Maaseh. Something that it makes a physical difference is always something greater in terms of being a problem than something that's an abstraction. The state of Aninut is not a physical state, it's an abstract state. The state of being an Orel is a measurable objective state. So therefore, it's much more likely that that's going to create a problem of eating truma than that aninut. That's number one. Furthermore, aninut is not something that is a maaseh begufo. It doesn't affect his body in particular. I mean, aninut is a situation that occurs from outside of yourself. So it's not only dependent on an act. In other words, not only is the issue, forget about the act, doesn't necessarily have to be in your body. If something is a physical problem somewhere, so then fine. It's a physical problem somewhere. Furthermore, it's your own body now that is mekukal for achilas truma, which in terms of aninut exists outside of yourself. Even if it would have been physical, it's outside of yourself. Furthermore, it's anush karet. Big difference. Arelut, a person who maintains the state of arelut, there's a chi of karet attached to it. Furthermore, yashna lifnei adibur. We know that the state of Arelut existed before Maimad Har Sinai. Aninut, we never heard of before that. Furthermore, Milat Zecharav Avadav Ma'akevet. We have the most remarkable halacha in that not only is the person's own personal state of being an Arel a problem for eating a Korban Pesach, even if he owns an individual or has a child who is himself an Arel, it's a problem for him. Who ever heard of such a thing? So therefore, the Torah is being very, very makbid on the problem of Arelut, far more so than it would be makbid on the problem of Aninut. So if you're going to tell me, on the one hand, the Torah is telling me certain things about Pesach affect Truma. On the other hand, they don't. And you've got two possibilities, Aninut and Arelut. What do you think is more reasonable that should affect Truma? Obviously, the Arelut is more reasonable. So you're going, wait a minute, I can show you that Aninut is more reasonable. Adrabah. Aninut, Havilei L'Rabuyim. Aninut is different because, first of all, Aninut yeshna b'chol sha'ah. Person can be an onin at all times. Person can only be an oro once. And once he removes his arelut, then he's no longer an oro. Furthermore, a woman can't be an oro, but she can be an oninit. So therefore, it's broader. It's an eged banashim of anashim. Maybe the Torah is more makbid on because of those things. Right? And furthermore, if he's an oro, he's biyadolat akenet atzmo. He could always remove his foreskin. How is he going to remove his aninut? In biyadolat akenet atzmo. So therefore, I say, let's go for the psul of aninut. Okay, but can't you count? I mean, there's only three things that aninut's better, and there's five things that arelut is better. Let's go with arelut. Rabbi says, come on, you don't need to count. What are you going to do? Lo matzis am. It's not even ahavamina to look at it in the other direction and say, let's asur aninut for truma, but be matar arelut. Shafkin arelut, ichtiba gufle pesach, yafinan aninut, be pesach, pesach gufle, maisa gamina. What's the matter with you? You're attempting to learn a din of korban pesach, the truma. So now I ask you, which din should I learn? The psul of arelut or the psul of aninut? What kind of ridiculous question is this? The din of arelut is said as part of the halachas of korban pesach. Kol arel lo yochabo. The din of aninut, it doesn't mention anything about aninut by korban pesach. We learn that because since the onen is also for mice, so therefore we would use pesach as the model for truma, where pesach doesn't even say anything about it. It's ridiculous. We only have one thing that pesach is being used as a model for. That's arelut. If I ask you, Kasha, okay, but still, couldn't I learn out from there on Inut? So therefore, just tell me, don't learn everything out. But obviously, I can't be telling me, don't learn Arelut out. But do learn on Inut out. But I gotta, it's nothing to do with Anachla fishing. It's just obvious.
Can it be Arelut on Pesach?
Why not?
Sure.
First of all, usually you get a Korban Pesach here, and you bring your Korban Pesach, it's there on Arab Yantar. But anyway, the state of Aninut is not the state of Arelut. Aninut is not, don't confuse the two. Aninut is a completely different halacha. Fine.
Why is it in Biyadol Latakin?
To cut off his foreskin?
No, the Aninut.
It's in Biyadol Latakin.
Why bury it?
But there's still the burial in the daytime, is still going to leave a din of Aninut. If you hold Aninut, Yom is
near. Where
is it on him? If he can be buried. But right now, it's Erev Pesach, I got to bring my Korban Pesach. Okay. Right now he's in a state of aninut. Now let me ask you something else. Why not learn out from Pesach? You're telling me an oral can't eat a Pesach, and therefore an oral can't eat truma. Okay, but a child who's an oral prevents the father from eating a Pesach. So maybe a child who's an oral should prevent a father from eating truma. So why don't we say ma Pesach milat zecharav avadav ma'akevet hav truma milat avadav ma'akevet? No, there you see, I have a pasuk to tell me that I should not apply the extended dinim of mila of a child or of an eved to the dinim of truma from the pasuk umalta oto az yochal bo. What's that bo? I mean, obviously, you just say umalta oto az yochal. But you're telling me lo yochal bo, okay? But afterwards, yochal. If you're telling me bo, you're saying here is where the problem is. It's milat zecharav avadav makevet bo, and only bo, meaning only milachol the pesach. But milat zecharav avadav is not ma'akevet when it comes to truma. That's what the word bo means. Wait, I don't want to be dovka or president too much. There is, in fact, a shaila of whether an onein is allowed to be sholeach korbanoso. It's a chala question. Onein, tell me, if he's going to be allowed to eat at night, so that's dependent on the question of aninus laila. Aninus laila is also is on the arisa, whether aninus laila is the rabbanon. That has to be discussed. It tells us it's machalic between cases where the death was at night, where there the aninus would be midirais, obviously at night. The shadow was the following night. But to know, our president's always right on the ball. Shouldn't be dofe him to kash. Yeah. Anyway, so we have over here dinam milat zechor ba'avoda makevet bo, but not makevet b'truma. So now wait a second. That bo has a nasty tendency of showing up in places where you don't want it to show up. How about kol orel lo yochal bo? Which means bo in ochel. An orel can't eat a korban pesach, but he sure can eat truma. Avol ochel ube truma. Oh, now what are you going to do? Well, I mean, it says tosha v'sochir to compare them. I mean, it couldn't mean that. I understand. You're telling me that when it comes to the tosha v'sochir, that's true. We compare the din of avadav, zecharav. There we know bo tells me, but not truma. But when it comes to the bo that says oral, then Toshav Sakhar says, yes, truma. Maybe it could be the other way around. Maybe we should be makbid on truma, where the children need a Brit Milah and don't have it. Well, the Eben needs a Brit Milah and doesn't have it. But not be Makbid on Truma where he himself is an Oro. That's a little strange. But let's toss that around for a while until we come up with why it's a little strange. Says the Yomara Maraita, how do you know which one to say we're including as an Isra by Truma from the Tosha V'Sokher and which one we're excluding for the Isra of Truma? Because of the bow. How do you know which one? Well, Stabra. Arelut the Gufi, Havelel Rabuya. Does it make more sense to say that his own personal state of Arelut should be a greater problem than his child's lack of a Brit Milah or his Eved's lack of a Brit Milah? Shekein Maaseh Begufo V'Anush Karet. I mean, first of all, this has to do with his own body. The Milah Tabadav, his Karav, has his own personal body. And furthermore, Tzafi of Karet, versus Dachai of Karet, for not doing the Brit Milah on his son. So versus Chai of a Brit Milah, only on not ever doing a Brit Milah for himself. So that's more chomer, and therefore that's what should be possible for Truma. Oh, I could look at it like this. I could say, Milad Zecharav Avadav is worse. Shekein Yeshna B'chol Sha'ah. I mean, usually you can only be an Oral once. Having removed the state of Arilut from yourself, you can't become an Oral again. But over here, you can become an Oral again and again and again. That's, you have a child now, you become an Oral again. In terms of, you buy an Eved, become an Oral again. So maybe there, that there is more Makbid, because it's the type of thing that can happen all the time. Well, Hanukkah Fish. I mean, let's count again. You got two things going for you. When it comes to Marv and Oro, because it's also your goof, it also your Karis. When it comes to the Ribuy of Avadav, who's a Harab, you only have one thing going for you to be Marv. Yes, which is, that is B'chol Sha'ah. Okay, so Hanukkah Fish. Well, you know what? The truth is, it's really weird. I mean, well, forget about counting. You might think I feel below Hanukkah Fish. What are you going to try to tell me? That his own Arilut doesn't affect him. But the Arilut of his Avadim and Zecharim affect him. Is that reasonable? Mihi kemidi the Arilut, the Gufi Loma Akvabay, his personal state of Arilut allows him to Truma. But if he's got an Eved or a child that's an Arilut, that's a big problem. Arilut Akvim Akvabay. It's not acceptable. It's just theological. Now, let me ask you something. The bow, you're telling me, I have to look at that bow very carefully, right? Okay, she's telling me. The bow is coming to tell me a drush. So what do you do with the word? I mean, I tell you, this bow really shows up a lot. What are you going to do with the bow that occurs in the kol? We have also the kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. What do you need that for? We might want to go to the Bach's Girsa change because it's kol all sigit together. He just throws in the first bow also, because we never did explain that. We had a question of what is the bow coming to tell me from the Chol Oro Lo Yochal Bo. We thought that it meant B'nat Shruma. We proved that that's wrong. We never said what it does mean. So therefore, in the Gemara's first question will be, so what does it mean? The further question will be, and what does Chol Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo? What does that one mean? So let's read the Bach and then we'll have both of them. So we have the Chol Oro Lo Yochal Bo. And in an earlier pasuk we have kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. So therefore, the Gemara's kasha is ash the amid bo the drasha with the anta kol arel lo yochal bo, number one, and kol ben nechar lo yochal bo, number two. Although it's not really in that order in the Torah. Lomali, we bring it in this order because we already raised the issue of arel before. What do we need it for? Kol arel lo yochal bo comes to tell me bo oino ochel. You might think that since the Torah put amatzot marorim yochlu together with the korban pesach, so if he can't eat the korban pesach, maybe that doesn't eat matzah maror either. And therefore, kamash van bo ain't ochel, and the kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. That comes to tell me bo hamarat dat poselet, which is the way the Gemara continues here. The in hamarat dat poselet b'maaser, that only when it comes here to korban pesach. There we've got a problem of mumrut. But when it comes to eating maaser sheni, there's no problem of mumarut. Now when it does say maaser, it doesn't say truma. Tosfos has a girsa that it should have said ein hamarat dat poselet b'truma. Okay? The truth is, however, this is a big question, whether hamarat dat passes by truma or not. This again relates back to the original question. Is an oral over here not a case shemeitu achav machmat milah, but then would there be another psul of hamarat dat? I don't believe in having a brit milah. That relates to that question as well. It's a machlokas rishonim essentially, whether this is dafka maaser or includes truma as well. Okay, so this girsa has both of them together. the Itzref Lemichtav Arel. So we need both. We need the case of Bo by Arel, the Itzref Lemichtav, the Kol No Benecha, the O by Kol Benecha. Because let's say he cuts back on an Arel. It's okay. The reason that an Arel doesn't eat is because Mishum de Mois. We know that the Torah views the physical Arelut as something which is disgusting. So the person that's not, it's inappropriate, it's improper for this person to be eating Kadesh, and therefore the Torah may be Aser. But a Ben Nechar, I mean, he looks like everybody else. You can't see straight to his heart to know that he's a no goodnik. And therefore the Ben Nechar is not Mois, or maybe there's no psul of eating Kadesh. And on the other hand, let's say it's a Ben Nechar. Okay, Ben Nechar, ain't me Bola Shamayim? How can we allow him to participate in Avedas Hashem? He's eating because he's hungry. He doesn't care about the Korban Pesach. But an Oral is Manish. I mean, he's a Mezvech of Masmila. The guy, his whole life is a tremendous Yerush Shamayim. He's a big Hasidic Rebbe. They don't know he's an Oral, I'm not telling you. But he's a big Hasidic Rebbe. I mean, so he couldn't eat the Korban Pesach. Maybe she's the Korban Pesach, Yerush Shamayim. Therefore, Tzricha. We need both of these cases.